Hit it, bitches. It's Monday, April fucking 8th. Here you go, bitches. The Church of What's Happening Now, my man Lee Syatt, a.k.a. the Flying Jew, fuck Passover. And you got your host, the King of Fucking Swing, Mad Flavor. Hit it, Lee. A little something for these motherfuckers on Monday morning. What? Oh, shit. Spark that number. Wash that fucking asshole. Do it. Little Angus Young. Young Angus Young. Are you fucking kidding me or what? The coffee should be ready. The toes should be fucking washed. The joint should be rolled. It's Monday. What do you got to lose? Take a chance. Columbus did, cocksucker. What the fuck do you got to lose? You're sitting there. Hit it, Angus. What? Are you? And I got a Chibo Chew. This fucking podcast is sponsored by Onnit. Go to onnit.com and get your fucking... Hit it, Lee. One more time for us. Hit it. It's Monday, brother. Loosen up. Take the stick out of your ass. Fuck it. You fucked up last week. You got another week. And if nobody don't like it, fuck it. They don't have to like it. You're the one at the fucking supermarket by yourself with that fucking envelope. Here you go, a little Bon Scott on you. In the garden. This is how we do it, motherfuckers. Just blasting this music. Get up, dance, stretch a little. Do a jumping jack, Lee. One quick one with Uncle George. Quick jumping jack. Yeah, your pants on. Come on, Lee. Jump, you fuck. Jump. What's happening, brother?
Not much, buddy. I've had a great weekend, but I want to hear about yours first. You had the exciting one.
Fucking excitement. I was in Nashville. I was in the Sticks. Fucking Nashville's a great city. For nobody's been to Nashville, Tennessee's a great city.
Yeah, because you love music, so that must be like...
I love music, but I've been to Memphis for music. Okay. I never really rocked it out in Nashville. Like, I've been down to that big street where people talk about.
I've never been there.
Fucking nice. Beautiful. When you make a turn onto that street and you're up above the hill and you see down all the lights, it's like a section, it's beautiful. Nice people, great fucking food.
Oh, I love the South.
I went to this place, Jimmy Kelly's, to eat the first night with my niece and my wife. Fucking tremendous. We took our niece out to dinner. You know, my niece, they're from Bradford by Milan and all that shit.
Okay.
And it was just amazing. It was amazing. And it broke my heart to leave because I saw my wife's parents with the baby.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I never had a grandmother, a grandfather, or fucking cousins. She had three of her cousins there that were picking her up, singing her songs, playing with her.
Because I was killing you without your daughter and your wife last week. You were happy for like a day or two, and then I could tell you, like, fuck it. I miss those guys.
Well, the house is quiet. You know, you've had noise for 90 fucking days straight. And, you worry, you know, and then when I had to leave, I was worried about the cats. You know, when I'm on the road, I worry about those fucking cats.
Oh, yeah.
Because there could be an earthquake, a hole in the ceiling, one of them leaves, you know. And we're driving back, and I'm worried about the cats, and I see a fucking dead cat on the road, and my heart stopped, you know. But it was great. Nashville, fucking Zanies, is a fucking great club.
Oh, cool.
It really is. That is, you know, what happened to me there was in 98, I walked in there with Stanhope.
Okay.
And I had to open for him, and I ate dick, and I got turned off. Right away, when you eat dick and you're a young comic, you think the people aren't cool.
Yeah, you blame it on them.
Yeah, it wasn't their fault. It was my fault. You know, I went out there cocky or too dirty, and I didn't know it was part of the Bible Belt, and you fuck up. This show is 11:15, so if you're not dirty, you're not going to be there anyway, by mistake. You don't say you're there for a reason. You're there. You're fucking cocksucker. How about you in Vegas? Talk to me.
I had a great time because I... And there's some history of it in my family. And part of it's the food. But I'm addicted to stuff. I love gambling. I love it. I'm always going to love it. And that's why I can't go that often. Because I ended up out on top, which is fucking unbelievable for Vegas. But it's dangerous for me there. But I love it. But I know if it was my choice, I would never leave the casino I'm at. And I don't understand walking up and down the street.
Oh yeah, that's the fucking... Listen, we were talking about this before, going away on vacation with people or certain people.
Yeah. So yeah, I love my friends. They're great people. But when you're going to do something like Vegas, it's not going to be like the Hangover. But you can't go with people who don't like that sort of stuff. You don't go somewhere where it's a gambling mecca and the drinking mecca and the having fun mecca with people who are...
Don't have that gene.
And that's fine.
I don't have that gene. You do know that. I don't have that gene. Like, first time I went to Vegas, I knew it wasn't me.
Well,
I went out when I was younger, and I found out a buddy of mine was in the bathroom doing blow, and he got arrested, and I had no interest of ever going there, because I knew they watched you in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Well, they watch you everywhere.
They watch everywhere. So I had no interest in it. You're saying, Joey, it's very sad that you won't go somewhere because of drugs. Then I went back. I used to work for a sports betting service.
Okay.
We would go once a fucking month with 14 guys.
Jesus Christ.
And I'd be so fucking embarrassed. At this time, I was, you know, it was 20 years ago. I was 30-something. And here I would go to Vegas, and all I'd want to do is get my pipe smoked and get a gram of blow and lock myself in a room. You follow me? But I'm not a hooker guy. I'm not a strip club guy.
No, yeah.
So I would basically go, walk a little bit, play a slot or two, get something to eat, and go to my room and do blow.
Oh,
see. And they would make you go to Cirque du Soleil and make you go to strip clubs, and I fucking hated it.
See, I'm not a party guy. Like, I wish I was, but I don't go to the bar. They give you free drinks at the tables. I stayed up for 24 hours one day because I just go from the sports book, which I'm terrible at, to the blackjack table and back. And I get Maker's Marks and Coke. I give the waitress a dollar chip every time, and she comes back every 20 minutes. And I can't tell. There's a sense of family at the blackjack table, like especially around 4 in the morning and everyone's drunk and giving high fives. There was it's called like the party pit. There's like this like 80s. Hard walk section of the casino I was at, and I was there every night till like 4 or 5 in the morning, and I love every minute of it. I was thinking on the way back how much I'd have to make and how much I have to spend if I could go every weekend and win an extra like $500 or $600. It was going through my head if I could do it,
It's amazing that you were thinking like an addict.
Absolutely.
I was telling you that, you know, when you live like that, you have to live. Sort of like I live now. It's a daily thing.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoy that. A lot of people don't like that. A lot of people can't live without that guaranteed at the end of the week.
Yeah.
I was one of those guys until I was about 20. Then one day I said, what, are you fucking kidding me? I can make $8 an hour, or I could take a chance. Columbus did. Some days you make 40. Some days you make 400. But at the end of the week, it's better than 250 a fucking week.
Yeah, I met this guy there who probably maybe late 20s. And he'd been there for like 10 years. He's every day, he's at the sports bet. He says he makes $50 a day, just guaranteed basically on that, because he makes smart bets and he spends all day studying it. And then he said he plays 80 hours of poker a week. And that's how he makes his money. He uses the sports bet as a way to pay bills. And my friends didn't understand it, and I totally did. If you were going to make a minimum wage or spend all day gambling and doing, I would do that in a second. I would do it in a second.
Listen, you're stuck at a fucking wage.
Yeah.
Here's a chance for you to make the... You know, first of all, the will you have to have when you wake up every morning is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
Because I didn't like it. When I was 18, 19, I was good at hustling, but I didn't like hustling. I didn't like it.
I thought you loved it.
At this age, I wanted to be Joe fucking Wasp.
Oh, okay.
I wanted a day job. I wanted a 401k. But I was too stupid. Not too stupid. I didn't have the formal education. Like, I could always get a fucking job. I could get a job flipping. You know, when I got out of high school, the big thing for my buddies was going into, a lot of them were pretty smart guys. So I went to the stock market and all that in Florida and up north. And they would always offer me shit. When I had a job bartending at 21 that would pay 60, 70 grand in the city. It's you and bartending.
Oh, shit.
Only I didn't know the opportunities of 60, 70,000. I wanted to make that in a month selling Coke.
Yeah.
You know, I was too stupid to do that. I was too, at the time, it was just too much. Now, if I really sat down, I could build an empire selling blow at 50. But who wants that around you at this age?
Exactly.
I don't need that in my life now. But a lot of people don't know the thing of getting up in the morning and going, I'm at zero. I got to get up and rock the house, go to breakfast, grab a newspaper, look at the fucking lines, you know, put your fucking bed in.
Yeah, and you said we talked a little bit, and I'm awful at it, and I should have called Danny B, but I just, the only real way to make money is either put down $10,000 on a game.
One game.
Or the thing I did as an idiot, which is do parlays, and you hit 3 out of 4 every time, like a friggin' retard.
That's an idiot. That you're throwing away your money.
And then what I did is, is I'm only betting 20 or 40 a game, but as soon as you see one of your parlays lose, you're like, oh shit, I gotta go bet another one.
Double up.
And it's fucking, I lost like 300 one day. And then that was the night I didn't sleep. I was up until...
Oh, you're a Jew. It was in your system.
I went from the sports bet, and I went to a blackjack table, and I didn't sleep until 11 a.m. the next day. I love it. I love staying up that late. And there's so many people up at the casinos. It never ends.
And it's
ends.
A different zone.
Oh, it's awesome.
Nighttime is beautiful. I love being up at night. It's like a fucking zone. You can hear the echophilia in the fucking air or whatever the fuck's in the air. You could feel it. Somebody was explaining to me once that when you... I live with cats.
Yeah.
So cats are alert at night. When I come home at 2 in the morning sometimes and I sit there, sometimes I don't even have to turn the TV on them. They're on fire and I can feel it. And I walk into that and I'm there fucking around with them. It's 3 in the morning. I'm there throwing a ball or hugging them or kissing them and they're biting me, you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing. When I was telling you, I just missed Finney because Finney was the one that would always bite me at 3 in the morning and shit. He's been dead for 2 months now. 3 months. My daughter's 3 months today. Can you imagine?
Is she really?
3 months fucking old today.
Wow,
little I want to be around today. Let's get this fucking day going. Get up, bitches. You got the world by the balls. I don't care what fucking situation you're in, because you know what? You're a fucking liar. Fuck. Take the safety net off. Hit it, cocksucker. A little Chibo Chew double dose. Lee, what's this doing?
What, man?
You gonna take a bite with Uncle
Chew? No,
just a little tip.
I'm not gonna take a bite.
Take a little
tip because
you gave me
a little bit, and I was fucking stoned for about 8 hours, and I gotta go to work tonight.
I wanna be around.
So I'm gonna let you do the Chibo Chew by yourself. You were so stoned when you left my house the other day.
Stop crying, alright?
I'm not crying. You just give me the strongest, most concentrated piece of shit in the world, and you think it's funny that I get to the fucking meeting we're at 45 minutes early because I'm nervous about driving.
What am I gonna do with you?
You're just gonna stop giving me the most concentrated shit that you can have because you've been doing it for 30 years.
I've only been eating pot for a year.
You've been smoking pot for 30 years.
Smoking and eating is two 35. Different fucking things.
Yeah, well.
This is the body of Christ. This is the church of what's happened now. The power of Christ compels. You gotta eat a little tip. Something.
No,
you
shit.
Got people already tweeting me saying, fuck Lee, throw him out the window, stab him.
No, they don't.
You know, I got a knife 4 feet from here.
Everyone's nice.
Huh? Look at this.
You're the only
look
one who's funny
fucking
to see how high I get.
Looks like a chocolate. Take a little tip from the bite. How about give me the knife?
No, fuck you, no.
Like a little tip.
That's what you gave me last time.
No, I'm gonna give you even half of that.
I'm not eating shit. I'm not eating it.
Look at what I'm gonna give you.
I gotta go to work tonight.
Look at how small.
No.
Look at that. That's a little dick.
That's for you.
That's for you. Look at what it was. Eating it. People at home, compare. I'm eating this fucking little piece of cat shit, and Lee's gonna eat the tip, and he's still fucking crying.
Kay.
Come on, Lee.
No, I can't. I have to go to work tonight.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll leave it here, and I'll throw the knife at you, and stab you.
Good.
And the THC will sip into your bloodstream. How about that?
That sounds great. You fucking. And people are like, oh, you should eat with Joey. You don't understand how fucking strong this is.
It's Monday, you cocksucker. You gotta get the people started. That's it. You're done. Wait till I see Dick Syed.
What?
You can't put a target behind your head. Throw fucking.
That's because you get to go home and take a nap.
What nap? I gotta go to fucking Sunset. I gotta rip the house up today.
What are you doing on Sunset?
I gotta go to fucking for a hearing test. Remember when I got there?
You're gonna be raising your hand to things that don't exist after eating that thing.
That's what I'm saying. I'm gonna have fun.
You're gonna hear, I wanna be around, and then they'll be like, Mr. Diaz, you don't have the headphones on, and the hearing test hasn't started yet.
I ate one of these last night at about 5 o'clock, and I went home and answered like 85 fucking emails.
Oh, you were tired last night when you called me.
Oh, I was lit. I was, you know, I don't sleep on the fucking road. The night before, the show was supposed to start at 11:15. It started at 11:45. I didn't get off stage till 1:30 in the morning. I basically went back to the room, closed my eyes, and got up, and it was 5 in the fucking morning.
Oh.
It was 5 in the morning, but you know, let me tell you what I got out of this trip.
What?
I made somebody's year. I made my wife's year.
Really?
You know, yeah, I really took care of her on this trip. I went all out for her. The family was happy. I got a niece, guys, that's 16 years old. And I got to tell you, I've known her since she's, you know, 2. You know, I've been dating Terry. And I remember when she was 6, we started talking a little more and talking. And I've always liked
that. Because at that age, you can finally start having conversations with
them. I've always liked that. You know, Terry's got a brother, and she didn't have a father. The mother and her broke up, and the father moved to whatever, so it was like my situation, but I always have a soft spot for Kristen. And Kristen has a boyfriend now. You know, she's 16, so she called me.
Did you go scare him a little bit?
No.
You didn't?
She called me, and she's like, Uncle Joe, you know, he's nice, and you can't fuck with him, and she didn't tell me that. She's a great little girl, you know, and I was worried about her. She has potential to go to college for basketball.
Oh, really?
Fucking yeah. She's 4.0 student, you know, Spanish. She'll call me up with that accent. Uncle Joe, what is Romantico mean? And I just fucking crack up, you know. I'm just dying. It's like a reality show when I talk to her on the phone. It really is. I don't know what the fuck she's talking about. But on the drive back, the boyfriend called. And I mean, I thought she was 16. You know, what the fuck do I know about a 16-year-old girl? You know?
Uh-oh.
She impressed the living shit out of me.
Really? That's not what I expected you to say?
Her boyfriend's 20, man.
No, what?
The boyfriend's 20, for starters. She's 16. When we went to eat, my wife left, so she could turn. She's like, "You're cool, Uncle Joey." And she was just telling me what's going on in her life, but she doesn't like that the guy plays video games. She's 16, okay?
Okay.
And she's like, "Uncle Joe, you know, can I ask you a question?" She goes, "Mama, my Aunt Terry said you don't play video games. Why don't you play video games?" I said, "You know, my attention span. But I try to explain to you what I tell people about life. That's the beauty about life, that we all don't like the same shit."
Yeah.
You know, we have our own things. And she's like, "No, you don't understand. He works 3 days a week, and he's going to go back to school next year.
Oh.
But he plays video games all the fucking day and all night, and then sometimes I call him, and he's asleep." And so we got in the car, and something happens. He called her. And she's like, "Did you go for that thing today?" He's like, "No." He goes, "You know why you didn't go? Because you were playing video games and all this." And she just... And it was just amazing when she got off the phone to hear this little 16. Like, I'm going to have her call the podcast.
Oh, great.
Because she's... I took the mother out for lunch the next day, and I go, "You did a great job of it. This girl doesn't want to go to her senior class trip. She thinks it's fucking gay. A junior class trip or whatever. She wants to go to Florida with the mother, to Disney World with her nieces or something like that." Just her attitude to see... I don't like kids living ahead of their time, but they got to think.
Oh, no, I was that way, and I'm sure you were that way.
Oh, please. I was fucking hard. I didn't go to my 8th grade graduation. Did you know that, Lisa? Yeah.
Wasn't that because you had to do it twice or something?
No, because I went to basketball camp.
Oh, there was that one. Okay.
That was why, because I didn't like that. It sounded good on paper to me. I never went to any of my proms.
Okay.
I never went to... It sounded good on paper, but when I thought about it, it gave me fucking anxiety.
Now, let me ask you something.
Go ahead.
I was fine with the boyfriend thing. Until you said he's 20 and she's 16, that...
I was fine with it, too, but they both go to church together. They're both in the same church group or some shit.
I was talking about that with my friends this weekend. I don't think when you're in your 20s, anything below 18, it seems like there's something wrong there. And it's not on her part, because I understand why it's alluring for her. But as a 20-year-old, you're dating someone who's just able to drive...
They've known each other for a while, and I asked, I go, "Do a lot of your girlfriends date older guys?" And she goes, "I have three of my friends that date 19-year-olds and 20s. And I go, "Don't your grandpa have something against it?" "Oh, please. How the fuck do you think I feel?" You know, he's 20 getting 16-year-old pussy. That's wrong.
Oh, no, yeah.
But they both go to the same church group together. They're both in that same church dynamic. One thing about my niece, he's a fucking Bible beater.
Okay.
She doesn't talk to you about it. We don't even discuss it. She's told me she's watched some of the videos and whatever, but no. She's a little bit of a Bible beater, which I have nothing against. As long as it keeps her in school, you know, that's the biggest area for fucking meth.
Is it really?
Yeah. That part of fucking Tennessee, she says you could smell the downwind.
Oh, shit.
In the mornings, you could smell...
Like the cooking it?
Yeah, the cooking it and stuff like
Fuck.
That.
Fuck.
So, you know, it's very interesting to see. I always have this illusion of what kids are like, and then I ran into a fucking brick truck with this bitch.
Yeah.
Because she's like a little Nazi, but I also seen the resemblance to my wife.
Okay.
My wife is a strong-willed bitch. All four of those sisters, the two sisters, the mother, you know why? They're Indian.
That's why?
A difference. Terry's very sweet on paper. But Terry's a bitch when it comes to... And she's my wife, and I'm telling you this.
You're not saying that in a
weird way. No.
It's strong.
Yeah. She's a fucking... When it comes to work and taking care of shit... Like last night, my wife goes, "So what's going on this week?" And I just started spitting names out to her, who I had to send a check to or whatever. And she just started writing checks. My wife and me have that same demeanor. When it's time to fucking rock, it's time to rock. This time I call her at work, and she'll tell me, "What is it that you want?" And my feelings are going to hurt for 3 minutes. And then I realize, A, I know her.
Yeah.
And B, this is why I married her, because I didn't want a fucking candy coat. You never want a candy coat. So I seen the connection, which made me fall in love with them even more across the board. I love my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law is the old lady from Outlaw Josie Wales, the old Indian lady. I think it's Outlaw Josie Wales. I'm not sure. Somebody please correct me on Twitter. There's an Indian. Oh yeah, yeah, the Outlaw Josie Wales. When he goes to the store to buy the goods, and she asking the lady, "You're the guy that they're looking for." You know, there were some people here looking for you, and he goes to pay her, and she goes, no, catch me on the next time. She tells him something, but what she wraps it around is, I'll see you again. You're a bad motherfucker. I'll catch you on the way back. And I don't know, you have to look it up on YouTube, don't. He goes to a general store, and she's an old lady, and I think she's either smoking a cigar, she's doing something fucking crazy. What's going on? It sounds like the ocean. It sounds like I'm at the beach, or is this fucking Chandy Chew already fucking hit me?
I have no idea. Yeah, no, your wife is very cool. But when you were talking about your niece, the first thing I thought was, I know there's a little bit of an age difference, but it seems like with your first daughter and her, there might be like a, is that, do you gravitate towards your niece because of that?
I gravitate towards young girls at that age because of that.
Uh-huh.
Because I ask them questions just to see what my daughter would be like at that age or whatever.
Yeah.
I've always been very respectful. I've always been a fucking young girls guy. Like, I always get along with young girls. Like, I have another niece, Jaylin.
Okay.
And she's 3. And I made, you know those YouTube videos, the camera I have, the blogging?
Yeah.
It's all with Jaylin.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I can't put it on YouTube because people are going to shoot me. But it was her singing and all that shit. And usually, last time I was there, she was kicking me at a basketball game. And her mom's like, she don't kick nobody. But that's what I bring out in kids. And I don't give a fuck. At least I bring something out in them.
It's because you're a 50-year-old kid. I mean, yeah, you're serious. Yeah. But you're a goofy motherfucker.
Oh, please. I love fucking around with kids and talking to them. And by the way, anybody watch, before I even get this going, because I might fucking break down. We got 7 minutes. Anybody watch 60 Minutes last night? If you didn't watch 60 Minutes last night, it was fucked up.
What was last night?
Fucked up, Lee. It was about, the shootings at Sandy Hook.
Oh, no. Oh, the parents went on. I saw the promo for that. Oh,
God. And Jeremy Lin. It was just a great 60. Listen, guys. I watch TV, but listen, since I was 10, there's not a lot of shit I fucking like watching, okay? If I want to watch something, I watch Bill Maher's HBO show. I'm going to tell you what I watch religiously, because it cuts my news in half.
Yeah.
It's the news that I really want to hear. It's the politics that I really want to hear when I like Bill Maher. All right, so you heard it from, and I like Diane Sawyer.
I was just going to say Diane Sawyer.
Diane Sawyer is like listening to like Led Zeppelin. It's too commercial for me right now, so I got to go to whatever, but I cut through the chase. And I go straight to fucking 60 Minutes. And sometimes 60 Minutes sucks, but sometimes I have a terrorist on there, something. This last week, I taped it. Because I didn't know if I was going to be home. I didn't know if I was going to be asleep. And I come into the living room last night, and I'm watching my wife hold the baby as tears are running down her face. And I knew what it was already. I looked, and I go, fuck. And I sat down, and I watched these people and talking about it. And oh, my fucking God. I would never want to trade my life with those people. But there was one lady who really fucking hit home with me. And she spoke about the kid. He's great. That guy on 60 Minutes. He looks like Anderson Cooper. He might be a little gay. But who the fuck knows, right? He might suck a couple more poles than fucking Anderson. And I love Anderson Cooper, too, by the way. Let me blow my nose. I didn't put my drops in this
morning. Yeah, because the Sandy Hook thing happened right when your daughter was about to be born or just had been born. Yeah. I don't remember
12,
the date.
14. 12, 14. And it's, if you put it together, it's 26, the number of lives that were lost. So,
Jesus Christ.
The fucking guy goes, how do you live with yourself now? And the lady goes, you know, some mornings I want to crawl in the hole and whatever, how you would when you have a loss. But the one lady goes, you know, and it was funny because yesterday when I got home in the afternoon, I was looking for rolling papers. I had weed, and I was looking for all the papers, and I went in this drawer, and I went in this little compartment there, and you'll notice I have a little shrine to all my brothers that are dead.
Yeah.
You know? And I just put a new one last week. I had to put George Burkle in there. So I look at this little picture, and it's Anthony Bolzano. He was in the eighth grade when he died, but he was my Goomba. And I looked at the picture, and it was like, in my mind, I didn't know he was dead. I didn't psychologically tell myself he was dead. I told myself that I gotta see Anthony soon.
Wait, you were thinking that the other day?
Before the fucking Sandy Hook even came on yesterday, when I got in at 11, at 10, and I started cleaning the house and whatever, then I started going on the computer to catch up on what I was missing, emails, and I was looking for papers. You know how I always roll a joint before to get the party started, I'm looking for the papers, and I saw that his picture was twisted. And I have a little thing of all my soldiers, and his picture was a little twisted. And it's a picture of him with his eighth grade graduation picture.
Okay.
And in the back of my mind, I just took him for granted, and I go, I'll see him later. Like, I always think like that. Like, these people to me aren't really dead. They're around me. And that's what she was saying. He goes, how do you deal with this? And she goes, this is how I deal with this. He's around me. I talk to him. I feel his fucking warmth. He's not gone. This is how I made believe my mother was around. And this, when I was a kid, I was an only child, how I made believe my father was still around. By, you imagine. You don't imagine, you dream. You don't even dream. You put it somewhere else that these people are still alive somewhere. And you feel their warmth. And then when she said that, I knew I wasn't fucking crazy. That's what I'm trying to say on a Monday fucking morning here.
Jesus
wherever
Christ.
The fuck we are. But it was beautiful. Then the Lynn Sanley thing was even better.
Oh, the basketball player.
Do you know this kid was a player of the year in California and didn't get one fucking scholarship?
Jesus.
Did you know? I didn't know that. No, I didn't know nothing about this kid. You know, he was from by the Golden State, whatever, Palos Altos area.
Okay.
Stanford didn't fucking offer him. Well, God, to UCLA. Player of the year.
Yeah.
Went to Harvard. Mm-hmm. Went to Harvard because they offered him a position on the basketball fucking team. The kid's phenomenal. How the fuck? I didn't know he was the player of the year in California. But that's likely. You know how big fucking California is?
I know that.
There'll be black people in California, and a Chinese guy fucking wins the player of the fucking year award. Are you fucking kidding me? Lee, what's the music for me? A little fucking El Raton, Chael Feliciano live. That movie was on last night. Soul Power was on VH1, and I turned it on as fucking James Brown was coming on. But today we're going to listen to a little Carlos and shit. Hit it, brother. Where's the reefer, Lee? Oh, shit. No, if you have a chance to watch the Sandy Hook thing, watch it. Oh, shit, Lee. What's the story, Lee? You want to smoke it on number with Uncle Joey?
Yeah, absolutely.
We got a caller. We got a fucking great call today.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day to be alive. What else? Get the fuck up. Get the fuck up. Yeah. It's over. Listen to fucking George Santana on heroin, 1971. Listen to this shit. Are you kidding me, Link? This is a great little fucking video, ain't it?
This is great, yeah. It's, yeah, that's crazy. I don't think I could watch that, to be honest. So, I read something terrible this morning, and I just read a short little blurb about it. There's been a lot of kids recently committing suicide, being bullied and stuff. And this little girl wrote a note. I don't know how old she was, but she said it wasn't your fault. It was the bully's fault. Like, you were a great mom. But then she hung herself on a tree that she knew her bus would pass by. And I just... That stuff fucking destroys me. Because I was bullied. I mean, and I never thought about killing myself, but it's...
Fuck no. You know, you're going to go home and play blackjack and eat fucking chicken cutlets and shit like that. Bad motherfucker, you.
Yeah, just that stuff always destroys me. But one thing I wanted to ask you quickly, because I don't know if you even have that much to say about it. But all this Rutgers basketball coach thing that's going on, It doesn't bother me at all. That's what a coach is supposed to do. He was throwing it at their feet. He didn't. In all the videos, I didn't really see anything. I had an elementary school gym teacher who was from the Army, and the thing he would do, he would take a basketball, and if you weren't paying attention, he would never hit anyone, but it would go right over your head, and everyone loved him. His name was Mr. Dye, and I had these kids could transfer. That. I have no problem with the coach acting like that, to be honest.
I have no problem with the coach doing a lot of things.
Yeah.
You can't fucking touch me. Can't fucking touch me, Lee. You can't fucking touch me.
Okay.
Okay? You can't fucking touch me. Nobody should be able to fucking touch you.
Then why did they stay?
Because they under a fucking agreement. It's like a fucking poor chick with a rich old fucking guy that's got nowhere to go. It's like a battered fucking woman that's got nowhere to fucking go sometimes.
You think it's that serious?
Me? I would have knocked that motherfucker out like we did in high school. You know, Mike Runny, I'll call him right now. He smacked the fuck out of the baseball coach.
And that would have been fine
too. I seen Louis Zaldivar punch the fucking principal in the seventh fucking grade, okay? You never let somebody touch you. Never. I don't give a fuck.
Okay.
That's your body. That's your fucking body.
Got a call. Here we go.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Is this my sexy girl?
I decided not to wear any clothes to church today.
Oh, you're not supposed to wear fucking clothes to church. I got to wear clothes just because I'm fucking here and Lee's in the room. If not, I'd be over here scratching my nuts and sniffing my fingers. You know how we do it, beautiful?
Oh, yeah. I saw your tweet about how you need to clip your fingernails.
That's right, because you never know if
you're... Your ass.
Sure, you never
I
know.
I always stick my finger up my ass when I have sex.
Sure,
always.
Not my own ass. Just I wiggle outside to get the party started. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got dead dick, you did one too many lines of coke, and you're eating that monkey, and you got to put a little pinky in your ass just to motivate things down there. Tabitha, my girl, is calling in today. How are you, my friend?
I am doing very, very well. How are you? I know you had a busy trip, a busy weekend.
Yeah, everything. You know, when you fucking got to do shit with the family and carry packages, I was carrying teddy bears and kids. It was pretty great. It was great to be in Tennessee with my wife. How was your weekend, my love?
I'm trying to remember what I did. It was great. Yeah, I was in San Francisco. I'm like, my brain is like a big whirlwind. But yeah, no, it was great. Wish the weather was better. But you know what I'm saying.
Were you here in California, or were you in Las Vegas, or were you in New York for the weekend? I couldn't understand what you'd said.
No, I was in San Francisco. I live in Las Vegas, and I will be going back to New York, actually.
Okay.
So yes, I do all of them.
And you're originally from New York.
Originally, yeah, from Long Island. So I have that accent if I really wanted to come out, only when I'm drunk.
Okay, no. I heard it the other day on the phone, so you must have had a glass of wine, did you, or something? I wanted to say
I guess I'm confessing. Yes.
Just to let you know, you're the first adult princess to ever call in, you know?
Really?
So it's an honor to have you on. Yeah, I've never really had... anybody from the industry call. You know, I go on Sam Tripoli's show, and I go on the shows, and there was always a lot of girls called in, so I didn't want to step on his toes. But when Kenji called in, and I spoke to him, and he spoke highly of you, and I looked at some of your work, and I was fucking impressed. But what impressed me the most about you when we started talking the other day, and how sharp you were. You're a sharp little fucking tack.
Well, when you suck a lot of cock, you got to get that way. It just kind of happens. It kind of hits something in your brain when it goes way deep down your throat. And it hits up, you know, and it blows the load. And then it kind of sparks something in you. And you see things clearer. No, I'm joking. But seriously, yeah, thank you. But yeah, you know, it's like Ken is my ex-husband. I was married to Ken. He's my second husband. I've been married four times. And Ken and I stayed... cool. We're friends. And when he told me he was on your show, I'm like, get out. I'm like, Joey's funny as fuck. I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, is it cool? Can I go on? And he's like, yeah. And it was actually my friend, you know who Shibuti is?
Yes. Yeah.
Shibuti. Shibuti's awesome. So Shibuti was the one, he tweeted me. He's like, your ex-husband's on Joey's show right now. I'm like, he is? You know, and I was just like, no. You know, so I was just like, right on. And then I got a hold of Ken, and I'm like, you got to hook me up with Joey. I got to be on Joey's show because I like it. And so he's like, okay. So it worked out. Very well. Thank you so much for having me on.
No, thank you. Cool. But it was funny. What we do on this show is just, you know, Tabitha, I know when you talk to different people, when you talk to some girl, I mean, I don't know how to say this without you. You've been around. You follow what I'm saying to you? You've been around the block. And sometimes you see a 20-year-old girl that's just getting into the industry or whatever, you bump into her. She's very sweet. And you know that something's not right there, but this person could do a lot more. Do you ever have that feeling about somebody? You're like, wow, this person can maybe do something better with themselves. And
you mean out of the business, or just
no? Maybe in the business. Maybe somebody is an people evolve. Maybe they would be a good director or something. But
right.
It's really weird how people get stuck in their lives. And you and I were having a conversation about divorce because I've been divorced once. I'll tell you, it was as devastating as losing my mother. Yeah, the first divorce. I've never been divorced. Just my divorce. It was devastating because I lost everything, you know, emotionally and financially and all this shit. And it was tough to recover. But the best thing about my divorce was I got into comedy because I had nothing. I had nothing to lose.
Right.
And you were telling me the story the other day in between divorces, how you were married to a guy and you looked beautiful and the guy wouldn't touch you and you lived like a princess. He gave you everything. Tell us the story. I really love that thing.
Oh, it's true. I was married at age 23, and he was a nice guy. And again, financially, yes, it was great. You know, I didn't realize we had a lot of money. Well, actually, he did. I can't say we because he's the one who really worked. But I wasn't working. I became a housewife. And he was so busy working all the time. And here I was going to the gym 6 days a week. You know, I had really long blonde hair, you know, big boobs, you know, and I looked good. I took care of myself. And he was, what happened was, he would go to work earlier in the morning, and he would come home, you know, like about 5 o'clock in the evening. I'd have dinner, you know, he would take a shower, and he'd fall asleep on the couch. And I had to get him up and have him go to bed. So our sex life really suffered. If we had sex once every 3 weeks, that was good. And when you're a newlywed and you're young, you know, being 23, 24-year-old girl who's going to the gym and taking care of herself, you feel like there's something wrong with you. You feel like it's you. And I went to psychiatrists. I was on Prozac. I would cry in front of the mirror every day for 2 months. I did. I cried every night before I went to bed. And I thought it was me. And it wasn't. It was just he was working to secure our future. Of course, I see that as I get older. But I just thought, you know what? I'm not happy. And I had friends approach me at the gym. I used to go to the gym. Who were in the adult business, and they'd asked if I would do a scene. And actually, they asked if my husband would do the scene with me. And I said, nah, he won't do it, but I wanted to see it. So I went, and I got an HIV test. You have to have a test when you go to work. And this is back in the 90s, so this is 95. I went, and I was 25 years old. And I went from Las Vegas to California, got on a plane, and saw a movie, watched them film it. I wanted to see how they did it first. I said, oh, I could do this. It's easy. Went in, and it was so natural to me just to go in and do a scene. And once I did the scene, I never went back home to my husband. I stayed in California. My mom moved me out of the house that I was in. I told him to keep everything. I didn't even want my car. And, you know, we had a big house, everything. I'm like, I want $60,000. That's all I want. It's 60 grand. I don't want your IRAs. I don't want your business. I don't want anything. You know, it's 60 grand, and that's fine. And but like being married over 2 years together, or over three, that's not a lot of money. But I was like, you know what? I gave up everything and went into something that I knew nothing about. I knew nothing about porn. Not a damn thing. But I thought, you know what? This could be fun. And you know what? I will, because I'm going to start my work. And I'm going to make a name for myself. I told myself that. And I did. So, yeah, it's kind of similar in a different way to your story. You know what I'm saying?
But it's the same thing. It's really the same thing. You were there, you had everything, but you weren't fucking happy. And one day there was a thing opened up and said, and whatever, it's in the adult business, you went, you fucking rocked it. Because I saw the one tape with you attacking some young guy or something, a delivery guy, I loved it. I fucking loved it. You attacked it. And, you know, well, people don't understand, anything is better than sitting on the fucking couch waiting for something to happen in your life. Anything.
Oh, yeah, you're not going to get anywhere. Nothing. And you know what? And I get a lot of flack because it's porn. And it's kind of like, and right now I'm doing other things, like I direct show, help direct show. My husband's teaching me. My husband's a director, actually. But I produce shows. We have a regular show that we're working on now. I'll tell you about it later when I'm about to announce what it is. But it's more of a mainstream show. It has nothing to do with porn. But I get a lot of flack because it's, oh, well, couldn't you have done something else besides, you know, porn? Porn's disgusting. Porn is this. And I'm like, if it's so disgusting, then why do so many people watch it? You know, it's like, really? And I don't see it that way. Actually, I feel more liberated and free from doing porn. And I've made a lot of money. I've done really well for myself. I made a name for myself. Yeah, is there a lot of, have I lost some respect from people? Yeah, but those are the people I don't want to be around anyway.
Yeah,
so you're weeding out the bad.
Hey, the people that don't respect you, they don't stand out in line with you at Ralph's and pay for your fucking groceries. So they could all suck your dick, or in your case, they could eat your ass. You know, I'm the same way. Yeah. I mean, I was a criminal, and I know that growing up, I lost a lot of friends because of the things I did, but they're not there with a fucking handout, or they're not there helping you. In this life, you have to do whatever the fuck you got to do, and now you evolved. I mean, yeah, you did it, but it was a stepping stone. It's not like there's two lives to every fucking job. Right now, I'm 50. When I got into comedy, T, I got to be honest with you. I got into this to party. I wanted to be Lenny Bruce. I wanted to shoot heroin at night and hang out with strippers and jazz musicians at the Chelsea Hotel in New York, and I wanted to do comedy, and that was what I wanted to do. This is why I got into this. I didn't get into this to have a kid and have a girlfriend and pay taxes and, you know, go to seminars. I paid this to diss a fucking peer. I did this.
Yep.
And,
people don't understand.
They don't. They don't. And I, for you to say that people judge you, stop being, you know, I love when people stop being my friend. I fucking love it. I love when people go
they
away.
Can't take, and they can't take.
They can't take.
That's
no, I love it. And I love it. And I love when they disappear and with no drama. You know, instead of confronting me and saying, I don't like how you live your life, but I'd rather you go the fuck away because, you know, you weren't meant to be there anyway. That's why sometimes I'm heavy on people, because I want to see if they'll hang out. If they don't hang out, fuck it. You weren't supposed to be around anyway. So what's this big thing you're working on? Talk to me, T.
Oh, this big thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't even talk about it yet. But all I can say is that 13 episodes TV show, and we're working on it. We started, so the voice is all cracked. I'm like, it's like I got a load to the throat. Now I'm joking. So we're working on that now. We start filming next week, actually. So it's gonna take a while, but it's good because it's going to do well for me. So I am actually self-financing our show. So, just because of the porn star, you know, I'm so horrible, Joey, that I can't even finance my own show. But, we're doing it ourselves, and it's pretty cool. Once I can tell you exactly what it is, I will let you know. I want to even come in and see you. Okay. That's cool. I want to come and hang out with you.
Yes, no, you can do whatever the fuck you want, but let me ask you something. And let me just, the beauty about this society that we're living in for an entertainer now, at any level, is that you don't need any money no more, T. You don't need anybody no more. You know, you want to get your word out there. There's a webpage. You can write a blog. You can take pictures of your asshole. You can stab other people and put them on there. And eventually, if you have enough belief in what you're doing, you'll get the word out there.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that social media, especially now, too, it's like Twitter is huge. I don't like the Facebook thing. The Facebook thing bugs me. So I don't want it, but I don't like it.
No, but there's too many fucking Christians on Facebook. I love you on Twitter. You're the real fucking deal. I say like some anecdote, like, hey, get up, wash your ass. It's a beautiful day to be alive. You just tweeted a picture of your fucking ass the other day. I woke up to a picture of your ass, and I would have banged one out, but I was in a rush. You follow me? Sometimes you just can't fucking bang one out when it's like carrying a body and moving around. But that's the way to say hello to people on Twitter. Fuck all this nonsense. Have a great day. You saw somebody a picture of your pussy for breakfast, you leave the fucking house with a different look on your face. You follow me? I just saw a chick's fucking monkey on there on Twitter. And nobody says nothing to you. I love it. I fucking love it.
Oh, yeah. You got to get the right app. Oh, yeah. No, I do that when I reach a milestone. Like, let's say I was at... Look, you know, Twitter's weird. Numbers are going up and down. It's really weird. But anyway, like, let's say I hit 80,000 followers. That would post a picture of the monkey. You know what I'm saying? But then I save that for, like, big numbers. But I always post the morning, like, I wake up.
With some beautiful titties. Beautiful titties with the sun shining on them. Yeah,
that
looked
up. See, I say goodnight to the ladies. I call them ladies. The ladies come tomorrow, Titty Tuesday. So, you know, I post titty pictures all day tomorrow. You know, so to me, it's kind of like it's a body. And if you can't appreciate the body, don't fucking click on the link to look at it. That's how I see it.
Oh, it's beautiful. I love that you do it. I fucking love it. That's why I became... When I saw that, I'm like, you know what? She's got it. She's got the fucking right attitude. Fuck around. Fuck preaching Nietzsche and all this shit. Here's a picture that'll get a smile on your face. Bam! I love you, T, from the bottom of my heart, and I'm happy you called in, and I want you to call in once a month. I want you to give me a fucking... Make a portion up for me that you come and report to these churches of what's happening now. Pick a movie of the month, or one of your favorite scenes, or a historic day in Tabitha Stevens' life. I love to get you on here a lot more. I love you with all my heart.
Oh, I love you too, and thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.
When are you going to be in L.A.? When you're in L.A., tweet me and we'll do something. You could come. Oh, you know what? We're doing a live podcast, so I love to get you on if you're in L.A. We do them at the Ice House. We just put up the Vinnie Curto one, and people like that. We think we got a nice recipe, and you would fit perfectly in one of those. To tell a little bit of
when are you doing those? Because I have a podcast too, actually, that I do. I should have you on mine.
Yeah, and I'm in Vegas Memorial Day.
Oh yeah. So then let's get together and we'll just work everything out.
Yeah, because I'm going to Vegas for the Memorial Day, but you July 4th for sure for the UFC with Joe. We're doing a show. So, but May, I'm just going to go and watch the fight. So I'd love to call you up, and if we can meet at a hotel, I'd love to do a podcast with you, wherever the fuck you do it. I don't give a fuck. I don't know if you do it live or you.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun. As long as I can do a topless. If you could do the topless podcast.
Yes, I'd do a topless podcast, and I even take a nutsack out. You know me. I'm a fucking savage. I'll do it naked. You know me. I don't give a fuck. I'm 50. You know, I'll show you some balls that'll make fucking people cry.
Oh, well, yeah, take those balls and smash them.
Oh, please. And I'll do a scratch and sniff. We'll do like a 3D section on the podcast where you can do a scratch and sniff. You can like an interactive screen. You can scratch my asshole and sniff your fingers, whatever. I don't give a fuck. I'm Catholic.
I love it. I'll cut my fingernails, I'll make sure.
Are you a Catholic also?
Right on. Awesome.
All right, we'll talk. Have a great day. All right, beautiful. Thank you.
You too, sweetie. Okay, thank you.
Bye, mama.
Bye.
So whatever the fuck you decide to do. I mean, when she was telling me the story the other day, it was breaking up here. It was an amazing thing because she made a move. You know, when I was married, I was in hell. The first time, this time I think about it, Lee, and I get sick. And I think about how I used to, how I like coming home now.
Yeah.
You don't know what has to. You don't know what it is to have a life when you don't like coming home because you don't like the person you're married to. Or the person you live with.
Yeah, and the thing, it sounded similar to yours. I mean, your ex-wife did some pretty shitty stuff with the baby afterwards. But when you broke up, it was kind of the same thing. Her husband, in reality, didn't do much of anything wrong. It's he was working hard and he wasn't fucking his hot wife, which I don't understand. But when you're working hard at what didn't happen, you and your wife just weren't, or ex-wife, weren't meant to be together. And she did shady shit afterwards. But you it was basically the same thing. You went and did comedy.
I was done. Guys, when I got divorced in 1991, but that June, let's say that June of 91, I probably had every major credit card, I had a couple grand in the bank, I had zero debt. I didn't believe in debt then. Do you know that?
Yeah.
I had zero debt. If I wanted something, I bought it. If I had a credit card, I bought a plane ticket, I paid it off at the end of the month. There was zero debt. I started with my credit from a college Visa card.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get your first loan or your first Pell Grant, you get a visa application in the mail, pre-approved with a $100 bill if you sign it. They want you. They want you out of fucking high school. They want to lure you in, you know? And I'm not kidding you. I never had no credit. I always got paid cash. I had bank accounts, but they were under my mother's name. My mother had them and stuff like that. I wasn't one of those type of guys. And what were we just talking about? I'm fucking high here.
About your divorce.
I'm talking about the thing, but... By a year later, I had all those 15 credit cards maxed out.
Really?
I was in so much fucking debt, guys. I mean, I'm not even kidding you. I was dying. I was selling drugs. I was doing comedy for $50 a fucking week. You know, every Tuesday at the broker for a steak, and the rest came out of Valiums. I sold Valiums. I sold Valiums till I couldn't sell Valiums anymore. I'd get 100 of them for $200. I'd sell them for... I don't even know. I don't even know what the money was at the time or whatever. But this is what made me get into comedy. Because I had done comedy that July. We broke up that October. But I was doing it as a hobbyist.
Yeah.
I would have become one of those people that I fucking hate in town. That, you know, they do it, but they always have something else to do. And they just have a business card and shit like that. When we broke up and I was confronted with nothing... Yeah. And even then, I still didn't. It took me 2 years to really grasp what was going on in my life, that I was going broke. And after I stopped feeling sorry for myself was when I said, I have nothing to lose now. I have nothing.
Yeah.
I had nothing. I had a white Nissan 19-whatever fucking car. If it was a 91, think about it. Nissan, yeah. No, when there were Datsun.
Oh, shit.
That's how old the car was. I went from having an Acura Integra, brand new, and a brand new Ford truck to having a fucking Datsun.
Oof.
And that's how I got to comedy in 1994. I got separated in 91. I didn't even really zip into comedy till maybe October of 93 was when I said, you know what? this is what I need to do. It's not getting any better. It's not getting any better. The addiction was bad. The money for the kid was bad. I had nothing, so I might as well go for it. And I went for it. It's the best time to go for something. You got nothing.
Yeah.
You got nowhere to fucking go. It can't get no worse than what it already is.
Exactly.
And sometimes it gets better and sometimes it don't, but you'll never know until you fucking wrap your hands around and say, suck my dick. Am I lying to you?
No, that's all you can do.
You're dealing with Lee. Look at you with this gambling thing. You know, you like it. And I know you're a smart guy. You can make a living off it. You're going to take a couple knocks. You're going to call a couple times and say, I need $5,000 for 3 points for a couple weeks because that's you need your bankroll. The most important thing in a sports is a bankroll.
Yeah.
As you learned, parlays suck dick.
Yeah.
So you have to attack one game at a time. And eventually you'll learn that the game that's on CBS, not the game you want to bet.
No.
Most people say, I don't like betting that because I can't watch it. You follow me? So they highlight those games. Those are the games that have action on them. You got to bet the New Mexico States, the Wichita States, the fucking...
Yeah,
even me, I called you with Syracuse. My friend said Syracuse is going to upset them.
It was close. Yeah.
But then it went, so it wasn't that fucking close.
But the one time I... Or one or two times I won, they don't do it often, but they made a mistake. On like Friday or Saturday night, it was probably Friday, it was Oklahoma City playing the Indiana Pacers, and they had the Pacers favored by 3.
You know NBA.
I know a little bit. I know. I'm like more than a casual fan, but I knew that Indiana shouldn't be favored over Oklahoma City by 3. So I bet, and I won. But I won like 250, and I was like, oh shit, because that. I mean, it was awesome, but it's kind of like with when they say in blackjack, you have to wait. Like, you really have to have a lot of money to play because you're going to lose a lot in a row, and you have to wait until it gets good. You have to wait for that one time they make a mistake. Like you said, you told me not to bet parlays. You said wait for that one game where they make a mistake and put the house on that motherfucker. That's how you have to do it.
When gambling, the more you dilly-dally,
yeah,
the more you're going to fucking lose. You have a high chance of losing straight up.
Yeah.
Can you imagine dilly-dallying? Like when I go to the track and I bet 2 trifectas, and I'm dilly-dallying.
Yeah.
I'm dilly-dallying. You take that one fucking horse and you blast it for everything. It's going off 8-1 and you keep going. You keep going on to the next race. And the next race, it might be a 3-1. And you're there. At least you made $2 on your fucking dollar. You know? But at least, and you know, got to hold. You know a horse is going to win.
Yeah.
There's no money at the end of this fucking horse. It's going to go off whatever. There's no fucking money. Why? It's like throwing spaghetti against the wall. So your movements are very calculated. You just can't bet like a fucking Puerto Rican on the 5th. I got a check in my fucking hand. No, your movements have to be very calculated. Because just because you know that you might win. It's like that chick at the bar. That you know you're going to fuck her. You fucked her 80 times. You're covering her mouth and her eyeballs. But you know there's drama attached to it.
Yeah.
She's a good piece of ass, but you know you're going to hear about the father and how the brother beat her with a fucking broom handle. You don't want to put up with this shit. You know, follow me? That's that fucking thing. So sometimes you just lay off until the good one comes along. That's the thing with that sports bet.
Yeah.
But then you're hitting it from all angles because while you're making money there, you're playing cards.
Oh,
correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's a hard fucking thing. You got to be really sharp. You can't get high.
You got to be sharp. And the other thing is, and one of the main reasons I'm not going to, I would love to make a living off of it, but I went to a local bar in Vegas yesterday for lunch, and I see it all the time in the casinos, and I saw it in San Diego. The people who are there all day, every day, and are just sitting at the slots, constantly putting in money, or constantly making bets, are the people that fucking lose, and that's, they're doing too much of it. Like just the Tabitha who just spoke, she's not the porn star who's going to be there at 50 doing $100 a day or whatever. You always have to be moving forward, and at some point, gambling isn't going to be enough to do it. So you got to be careful, because I could feel myself getting pulled in. I won yesterday, and all I wanted to do was take all my winnings and put it on one bet. That's all I wanted to do. I didn't do it, but and my friends didn't understand that. I couldn't. To me, I'm like, how could you not want to do that? But to me, like, I wanted to just do it, but I didn't, but...
God. Action. It's called action, brother. It's called action. And some people fucking love it, and some people don't, and some people are scared of it.
I love it.
You're looking at somebody that's scared of it.
But you did a lot of sports betting.
I did sports betting to a certain fucking age.
Okay.
And then I stopped. You know what that age was?
What?
21. I sports really betted heavy for 1 year. And I knew that, A, it wasn't my cup of tea. B, it could be. It could be, but it's... And C, the first thing people told me, two people came up to me after my mother died, after a year after my mother died, and said, "You don't gamble, do you?" And I was like, "No." And they're like, "We don't think you should." Because your mother, she was not a good fucking gambler. So I knew it was in my blood, and I didn't want to fuck with it.
Yeah.
You follow me? So to me, and I've told this on the podcast 1,000 times, it became that if I'm going to fucking lose money to somebody, I might as well put it up my nose and at least look out a window, get my dick sucked with some chick that's fucked up or something. To me, that was what was having a good time was.
Yeah.
Not sitting at the bar with a 70% of me losing with other fucking 8 losers sitting there hoping for something to come in.
Yeah.
That's not what I really wanted to do by no fucking means.
No.
You follow me? So,
yeah.
That's not what I was into. And it just didn't work for me. It just, that whole world didn't work for me. And once they get you, Lee, they get you. But you have to be really smart about it. I lived with a kid that was up 50 fucking grand, Lee.
Oh, yeah.
By mistake. He was a fucking retard. He was one of my best friends in life. I miss him dearly. But he was a retard, people. I'm telling you right now, the kid didn't even talk. He was funny. He was my brother. But he didn't even fucking talk. And I saw him bet 1,000-time parlay and turn that into $60,000 over 4 or 5 months. This guy was betting and going to sleep. He was calling a bet and going to sleep. And wake up in the morning and go, fuck, and he lose. And we both got into the cycle. And it was 1, 2, 3. It was like 6 of us at this time. And we'd sit at the bar. And then when we lose, we have to go steal. That's how that whole chain thing started. That's how all these fucking stories started with me at that age. That's when all I did my shittiest fucking work was when I was gambling. I was mixing my addictive fucking personality with the gambling personality and just me of losing a parent and being in fucking limbo in my mind and put it all together. And half the time I was putting bets in with people I knew. And sometimes I was putting bets with people I didn't know and telling them to suck your dick. Now you can't go to your favorite hotspot for a fucking month. Because, and even though if he wasn't going to beat me up, I don't want to be interrupted when I'm fucking doing my thing. You're following me. You got my 200. Dog, you told me last week. I don't need that aggravation. So, I had that going on. Plus, you have people looking for you for stealing. You got people looking for you for owing them for drugs. So, I had this whole thing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what the turning point in my life was. I lost $800 to the same bookie that my roommate lost $30,000 to.
And this was the guy who lost it on the Super Bowl and then never bet again? Yeah.
Never bet again, never watched sports again. And it chiseled him. It sizzled him for the rest of his life. It ruined him. Fernie never recovered from that. And I'll tell you what, the parents blame me and another friend of mine, Steve Avillo, who's called the podcast.
Yeah.
I talked to him. Steve Avillo is one of the sharpest guys you'll ever know. One of the sweetest men that walked this planet. You know, I see the post he does on Facebook. He's got the bandmasters.
Yeah.
And they travel around. Passmasters, I'm sorry. And they travel around. He told me one time that Fernie told him after high school that my mother hates you because you used to have parties at your house and I would go and get drunk. You know, that's the kind of family he came from. But about 2 years ago, I seen the younger brother on Facebook and I hit him up and said, have your brother call me. And he didn't return my call. So I knew that was still running in their family. It was because of us that he gambled. That really fucked him up because he had to get 2 jobs. He had basically worked from 6 in the morning to midnight, 5 days a week. He slept 4 or 5 hours, and he went back. He pumped gas at night and stole at the gas station. He took bets or something. And in the daytime, he worked at his father's restaurant. And when I went back and saw him years later, he wasn't the same person at all. I could tell he was a little mad at me and apprehensive because I split on the 800. And I asked him once, what happened with that guy? Did you pay him all his money? He goes, except the 800. I told him to go get you, and you pay him the 800, I pay him the 800. So I always knew he was mad at me because I told the guy to go fuck himself. I wasn't paying him 800. I went to Colorado, you know. But it was, I don't like it. Till this day, I like fucking around with it with people. I see a move, and I'll report it. Like, I like the Sunday night totals on football. That's where I'm really fucking good.
Oh, that's it. Scary. That's it. What is it called? Like, grand salami in baseball? Where it's like they add up all the runs. And you do a plus or minus?
Yeah.
That's
what I like.
I like blackjack because I feel like I'm in a little bit more control, because I decide what it's what like what I'm gonna hit and stuff like that. But I can't. If I could, if I live closer, I'd go to Vegas every night.
I know you would. You want to, and Lee, there's nothing wrong with it as long as you understand the other side of it. You understand what could happen. You know, I always enjoyed the movie Rounders.
I remember hearing that movie.
Is it Matt Dillon? No, is it Matt? No, Matt. What's his name? Who's in that movie? Rounders is a great fucking movie about a poker player. It's about Matt Damon with John Malkovich playing the Russian gangster at the end.
It's Matt Damon, Edward Norton,
yeah.
Paul Cicero, John Turturro.
Oh, tremendous movie. John Turturro's tremendous. It's about gambling. And it's about this kid who loses a ton of fucking dough, and then he swears off gambling, and he gets the chick from the Fantastic Four is in. She plays at the pool hall, at the poker hall in New York. And it's funny because a buddy of mine on Facebook, he, when we were kids, he was a gambler. He was a casino dealer, one of those underground spots in New York.
Oh, okay.
Like, if you lived in New York, you'd gamble every night, too. I'll send you to a place, I'll make a phone call, and you're in a basement in fucking Spanish Harlem that looks like Las Vegas.
Oh, really?
Looks like Las Vegas. They got food, they got chicks sucking dick there. I used to go to one on 181st Street in Broadway, in Amsterdam. It was a parking garage.
Yeah.
A parking garage at night. The top floor, everybody thought it was parking. They had turned it into a legal casino.
Jesus.
A fucking parking garage. And you get blow, you get heroin, you get your dick sucked. The last time I went over there with a friend of mine, Chris DiLorenzo. And he used to have a brother named Bonehead Amy. I've talked about him on the podcast. And they had a sister called Donna. They had a girlfriend, Amy or Bonehead, got a girlfriend called Donna who was Chinese and Italian. Guys, when I tell you, this chick was fucking banging. And I was 18. I'd wake up over there hungover. And I looked to see who was in the living room, and she'd be completely naked with her legs open, sleeping. And I'd look into her pussy, and fucking my head would almost explode, and I'd run out of there. I'd go to this gambling casino one night, all fucked up on sleeping pills and shit, and I see Donna in there. And she goes, "Get me out of here." And I had a car downstairs. I was all fucked up. I had woken up in a car. I had been out with friends of mine. They left me the keys. I took the car keys. I left my friends in the city, and I took this chick, Donna, over to a hotel in Fort Lee, New Jersey. This is fucking crazy. We must have done an 8-ball of blow. Nothing happened. Here I was in love with her. I thought she was going to show me a pussy. Nothing fucking happened. So that's the way to end a Monday morning fucking podcast. On that note, don't get into gambling, Lee. Stick with what you're doing.
No, right, I'll be now. Fine.
You'll be fine. If not, call Danny Bianculo. She fucked up. And I was going to tell you to call him. Don't you have his number?
I'm sure I do. I just...
You fucked up. He got away. Did you check the messages this last week? We had a couple people call in, didn't we? Ralphie May said he called in on Friday.
There's one message, apparently. Yeah. I don't know why he'd call in on Friday, but yeah, I think we have one message.
But anyway, listen, let me give some shout-outs real quick. Let's talk a couple minutes here. Let me give some shout-outs. First off, to my main man in Nashville. I got to give Nashville fucking Death Squad a big shout-out. That dude's a sharp fucking guy. I met him. He got me into the Zanies. He's doing a great job for Death Squad. And Death Squad as a whole, you know what? You motherfuckers are popping up everywhere like roaches. They got Kent, they got everywhere, and we're going to try to see all of you this year, at least I am, with fucking the Flying Jew. Duncan's back today. His mother passed. My deepest condolences. If you go on Duncan Trussell, send him some fucking condolences there. But the most important person I met this week was a little fucking skinny kid named Hank Diaz. Him and his partner came to the show, and outside, they fucking hugged me, and they had to go to work at Kroger's. They stock shelves at fucking Kroger's.
That's all. It's a job.
It broke my fucking heart. I wanted to cry right there, but there was too many fucking people. Like, these guys came to the show, and then they're going to fucking work all night. He had a Stay Black shirt on, so I got to give you a lot of love. And I love Kroger's. Don't get me wrong. I used to use the calling cards in Buffalo. Fucking Kroger's delicious. They got the fucking chicken, the wings bigger than your fucking head, Lee. 22 points apiece if you at Weight Watchers. So, Hank Diaz, I love you. Your little buddy, you came out. Nashville fucking, like I said, Nashville Death Squad, Stay Black. There's a vet online. His name is on Twitter. He's at Yarfi, Yarfi. Clothing for the individual, not the fucking masses. This guy's a Vietnam vet. If you're a vet and you're trying to help other people, these are the guys. I know there's him, and there's another guy who used to make leather jackets. He used to listen to Beauty and the Beast. We would fuck around every once in a while. These guys are out there. They're disabled. You know, the little pennies they make, they send it to other vets. This guy's a Vietnam vet, not one of these fucking guys that, you know, did his fucking duty in San Diego and walks around with a fucking camouflage. These guys are the real deal. you know, I don't know if there's lists online, because I've been interested in this, that there's lists online for these veterans who make badges and different shirts and leather pieces and whatever. This guy makes hoodies so you can put your wallets in. Remember, we're talking about my wallet. You offered me a wallet, but I thought it was one of those biker wallets with the fucking chain, like Sons of Anarchy. I don't need that shit. I don't even like shit in my pocket. But this is not about, this is about him and what he does, you know. So help him out. Like I said, he's at Yarfi Clothing for the individual, not the masses. He's also, his name is Jamie Wysajuin, or Wygara, whatever the fuck. I'm stoned. Sergio Ortega, Ramey Oliva, Death Squad Nashville, Death Squad as a whole, and my man Sean fucking Cappuccino. You follow me, Lee? What the fuck, Lee? What are you looking at? Also, I'm not doing dick till I get to Miami. Some people going back to Cali. I'm going back to Miami. Emmy. April 19th, two fucking shows. We need to add the second one. Don't fuck around. Go to South Beach Comedy Festival. Get your ticket now. It's going to be a party. I'm flying in weed right now as we speak. And they're dropping it into the ocean on fucking helicopters. Some OG I got. I'm fucking high today, dog. And that Chibo Chew didn't help. Fuck you, Lee, for not doing a Chibo Chew with your Uncle Joey. I saved that for y'all, man. I could have been a fucking Jew and held on to it for myself and got into a bunker. And
don't pretend like you didn't. You told us already you had one last night.
Last night, but I could have done both of them. You know me. I don't fuck around. I got to eat one for each leg here. And then I'm in fucking Austin. I'm in Utah. I'm coming to Long Island. I'm going to Arizona. This year, we're going to a lot of places. I'm bringing Lee to San Jose in June for the weekend with me.
Oh, shit.
So June 25th, take it off. We're going up there doing some business.
All right.
I'm going to get you into the fucking reefer business on weed country. Anyway, you know I love you guys. As always, listen. Guys, I got to talk to you about something. I don't know if you people know this. November 26th, I was smoking at night. I stopped smoking. The wife had the baby. I'm a fat fuck. Diet is so important, and especially here at the church, we try everything we do. Fat man alert. So do me a favor, dog. I need your help too. I'm fucking dying. You know, and it's killing me, Lee, because I work out hard and I'm gaining weight, and I don't know what I'm eating that's killing me. I don't know what the fuck it is. It's not like sodas. I don't know what has happened. And even when I eat light, I get on the scale and I'm even. I don't lose any fucking weight.
That happens. It happens with everyone who's losing weight. You hit a plateau and you gotta change one little thing.
I think it's time to get Dolce back on here. I think it's time to go to Vegas for a week and just hang out with Dolce.
Oh yeah, he tweeted me a couple times. We talked a little bit over the weekend. It was nice.
He's a good fucking dude. Dolce's got the podcast. It's kicking ass because people want to know how to fucking get healthy. People don't know. People don't fucking know. And even if you think you know, you really don't fucking know. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, and he retweets people who take pictures of making his food, and someone tweeted a picture of his fried chicken, which I'm sure isn't fried, but it looked delicious.
No, it's in the oven. It's delicious. I tell you what I really like is pasta.
Oh, cool.
I gotta make it. You gotta make it fresh, and I'm fucking lazy, and I'm getting fatter by the fucking day. Fatter and uglier and fucking older. Somebody tweeted a picture.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. I'm getting old, dog. My ears are getting bigger. You know, when you get to be like 60, you get those long ears like fucking Dumbo. That shit's in my blood. Everybody's trying to get their nip tucked in their face.
At least you don't have
ear cut.
At least you don't have ear hair.
And my head is growing by the fucking day. You understand me? My head, Lee, is fucking bigger than ever. Where's the other camera, Lee?
It's coming. I have the other camera. I have to get something to hook it up. I was gone for 2 days for the first time in a year. Give me a break. It'll
That's
be here
my
this
fault.
Week.
We've been talking about this camera for 3 weeks.
We've been talking about it for 1 week, and I have the camera. I need to get something to hook it up. Give me a little break.
You got to get somebody to hook it up?
I got to get something. I can hook it
what
up.
What is this going to take?
What do you mean, what is it going to take?
How long is this going to fucking take?
I told you it's going to take a week.
That was 3 weeks ago, cocksucker.
Each time you say it, it gets longer. I was talking about this 4 years ago, Lee. You're slipping, man.
He is fucking slipping. Anyway, listen. As usual,
podcast is brought to you by Onnit.
Yeah, but here's the fucking... A lot of people have been hitting me up lately. I've been going to Onnit, and they really like the Strongbone. I'm not kidding you. That shit works if you're a fat fuck. And how do I know? Because I've been doing that fucking treadmill. That
elliptical.
And that's the test. My hips hurt. And my hips never fucking hurt before. I don't know if it's my hips. Some in my thighs or something. I think that was back in my ass or something like that. But... you know, that shit fucking works on your knees. I don't have knee pain. I was just thinking about it this morning when I went down the stairs. Stop it, Lee. I don't have fucking knee pain no more.
No,
I don't have any fucking knee pain at all. Not at all. Now I got the strong bone in my system, so it's been like 4 weeks. It's gone. You know, I've never had elbow pain. I get my shoulders get stuck If I sleep, it's fucking 300 pounds on a little fucking joint. But besides that, you know, when I hit the fucking pads or whatever, it feels great. Try, if you're a fat fuck, just do me a favor. I think there's only one size for strong bone. So if you're going to go for broke, go for fucking broke. Get the strong bone. Get the fucking immune with the shroom tech immune. Because that shit, like I said, my allergies have been on fire.
Really?
And I'm reacting to something lately. This is the only reason why I've been clogged up. I'm not doing blow. I'm here on fucking time and I'm a soldier. I'm not doing blow. This is fucking weird. This has been like the last 2 years that my allergies have been fucking done. I don't know what to do. So, but anyway. Get the strong bone allergy. I'm fucking high. Get the strong bone. Get the immune. And get the hemp protein. You won't be fucking sorry. You know, for you people who don't like tasting the protein and the milk, this is delicious. Fucking delicious. The chocolate, if you're a stoner, fucking delicious. I'm not kidding you. You know that old school chocolate that as you're drinking, you get like a chocolate mustache on your lip?
Oh.
That type of shit. It's nice and you make it thick or light. Trust me, people. Go to fuckinghonor.com. Type church in the box, CHURCH. Boom, there you go. Get 10% off. You get fucking emails. When we get the kettlebells with my face, don't worry about nothing. We got you over here at Honor and at the church of what's happening now. Like I said, I love all you motherfuckers. Go out there and go for it today. Don't fuck around. Cut the motherfucker off. You got places to be. You're a soldier. You're with the church. I love you motherfuckers. We'll see you Wednesday. Thank you for the love on the live podcast. We're going to keep doing these. We're going to perfect these until they sound like Judas Priest live in fucking Bangladesh, unleashed in the east with a bunch of Japanese people, whatever the fuck it was. So I'm loving that you're loving it. Go to joeydiaz.net for all your dates. The t-shirts have been on fire. Thank you for the support. The main t-shirt, the long sleeve. You're supporting the podcast. You're helping us out. And that's it, Lee. You got anything to tell these cocksuckers?
No. Fucking thanks for listening. And
you need to find the All-Stars again. What do you got for me?
I got caught stealing.
All right, hit it, motherfuckers.